State Farm. This is Jessica.
Hey, Jessica, Jerry Newman. Does State Farm offer more discounts to more drivers?
Yep, like the good driver discount.
So it's for good but not great drivers?
No, Jerry. There's also the multi-line discount.
For calling from multiple lines while driving.
You should never use a phone while driving.
I only make calls from my car when I'm stuck in a ditch or something.
Are you in a ditch?
Yes, I am.
State Farm offers more discounts to more drivers than any other insurance company. Get to a better state.
Give me a call. Your good neighbor State Farm agent, Susan Casper, at 659-5678.
Your free local online newspaper, ClintonCountyDailyNews.com, is your number one source for the latest news in Clinton and surrounding counties. But that's not all we have to offer. Listen to archived audio from the past five programs on the Party Line program every day. Plus, make sure you chime in our weekly poll question at the bottom of the page. ClintonCountyDailyNews.com, your free local online newspaper.
Philo's getting ready to bring something new to Clinton County that has never been done before. Local news, information, and maybe a little entertainment for the Latino community in Frankfort. Hi, I'm Monica. Join me and WILO Program Director Kevin Keith for Ahora Clinton County or Clinton County Now. The show will be delivered live and in Spanglish so everyone can follow along. Our first show will be Wednesday, June 2nd at 7 p.m. and then each and every Wednesday, always at 7. Tell your amigos and friends to make plans to tune in to 1570 AM or 96.9 FM. Or you can also stream online at ClintonCountyDailyNews.com for the station that truly cares about the entire community.
The Clinton County Family YMCA is excited to announce their 2021 annual campaign, taking place throughout the month of August. Help us continue to serve your local community by enhancing our programs and growing into our bright future. After celebrating our 30th anniversary this year, the Y needs your help to refresh our building, bring more meals to Clinton County families, and bring even more exciting fitness and wellness programming to you and your family. Please visit ccfymca.net/give or stop into our facility to get one of our fundraising brochures. Support your local Y because we want to continue to make Clinton County's future bright.
Welcome back to Inside the Huddle, sponsored by your State Farm insurance agent, Susan Casper. I'm your host, Ken Hartman. We're going to do now is we're going to have a taped interview we did with Brian Eaton, who's the Clinton Prairie Athletic Director. We did this a week ago today. So here's the interview I had with Brian.
We're going to say good morning here to Brian Eaton, the Athletic Director at Clinton Prairie. Brian, good morning. How you doing?
Great. How are you? Thanks for having me today.
Not a problem at all. It's been a while since we've had you out here.
Yeah.
So obviously we're taping this after the first week of football, which you guys did not play last night. So talk about when did that thing come out that you weren't going to play, and what are you going to do? But you're not going to be able to make it up, though, are you?
No, obviously. Well, I'll start. It came out during the school day, right about 10:30. I think is when we found out we had a positive case, and then just trying to contact everybody, letting them know our opponents, our officials, our workers. Obviously, getting all the team gathered and informing them and passing that along. And with football, you can't make up games, I guess. So that's just a lost game.
It is hard to do. So you guys were the ones. I thought it might have been Westdale that had the problem. So you guys are the ones that had the problem then.
Yeah, unfortunately, yeah, we did have a positive case, and heartbroken for our kids, and hopefully that individual's recovering and safe and fine on that end. And just it stinks when you lose a game.
So you guys, obviously, you think you're going to be able to go ahead and play Frankfort again this coming Friday.
Yeah, that's our plan right now. We're still working through some of the details. Again, that just happened yesterday, and there's, still just trying to figure all that out and how it applies, making sure we're following all of our policies from not only our corporation policies, but then also the IHSA policies. We're still working through that right now, but that's our goal.
Yeah. So even if you do play it, that's still a heck of a way to have to start, though.
Yeah, it will be a tough situation if we are indeed able to play. And, we're obviously going to be out some practices most likely. And that's not going to be easy. But at this time, that's our goal. And our coach thinks if we are able to get a practice or two in prior that, we can develop a game plan and go over there and compete and do our best.
Since we really haven't talked to you before the start of the season, since it's already kind of started, we need to kind of talk to you a little bit about what's going to happen this year. First of all, let's go back a year. How do you guys think you handled COVID a year ago?
we did the best we can, and I think every school was a little bit different. based off their policies, their corporation, the state, and how everything's interpreted. You know, there's no win situation when you're the school. You know, you go one way, then, you know, the health and safety of the kid or the other end, and it's a difficult situation. You just do the best you can with the information you have. You know, I thought overall our coaching staff, our athletes did a great job in terms of following our policies, doing the best they could in order to prevent something. You know, obviously we had a couple of different sports, just like about every school that I know of, where, you know, they were taken out at some point or another, whether it be a game or two or like football last year, you know, ended up, you know, getting taken out of the tournament and it wasn't even on our end. And that's tough on those athletes, certainly. So, you know, you always feel for them, but, I think everybody was trying to work and do the best that they could given the circumstances and information.
What are you going to take from last year's COVID and apply it to the future?
Well, there's a lot of different things that, you know, as we talked to school, we're just at a meeting with some other ADs, and that was one of the things we're talking about. You know, what did you learn? What did you take away from that? First of all, I think everybody last year when we got back and we were able to play, how fortunate they were just to be able to participate. You know, when that spring season was taken away, you know, that for sure hurt. And I think people realized, you know, how nice it is to be able to participate in sports and be around people and go through that. So, I think that's something that people, again, athletes, coaches, myself, everybody in the community, just, you know, how important that is to our community, to our kids, to our coaches. But then there's other things that you look at that we had to adapt, you know, online ticketing that we're moving towards this year. A lot of other schools did, last year, programs and rosters online. The flexibility of schools to change scheduling, you know, that was, especially basketball season, it seemed like I was on the phone with someone trying to find a game every single day. And although I don't think we played anybody necessarily, you know, all that far out of our area, I know there are other schools that traveled to gyms that they've never been before. So, mm-hmm. You know, that's kind of a neat thing to see schools play each other that never would have. And hopefully that flexibility continues this year.
What kind of COVID policy are you guys going to have? Considering what happened yesterday, what's going to be your COVID policy going forward for right now?
Yeah, so where we're at right now is we're basically following the IHSA recommendations, and those are continually changing. But our plan is very similar to what our plan was last year. There's been some updates, some modifications as the state and CDC and everybody's kind of weighed in on that and made their adjustments. We try to adjust to that. But right now our policy is very similar to last year. There's, you know, the quarantine situation, the close contact, again, the distance, and, you know, all those different scenarios are still, depends on the situation, but very similar to last year.
And, of course, the big thing still, which I think was the biggest problem for everybody, was the close contacts.
Yeah, it's, you know, that there's nothing worse than being an administrator and you find out not only that somebody's positive, and then you got to walk around and figure out who is a close contact, who is not. You know, especially in the classroom setting where, you know, it was at 6 feet at one time. Now it's down to 3, but, you know, we have the, you know, the stick or whatever that we're measuring 6 feet and, you know, someone's right at 6 feet. And, you know, then you got to check with the teacher, you know, is this normally where the desks are? Is it, you know, there's all these things that are going on. It was definitely something that I wish never happened. I wish it would be over right now, but unfortunately it doesn't look that way.
Yeah. And, you know, it's something you'll ever want to deal with again either.
No, I don't think any AD after last year said that was one of their better years.
No.
And same with athletes, coaches, administrators, anybody in the education setting did not like last year.
So right now it's full steam ahead for everything.
Yeah, that's where we're at right now. So,
last year, of course, was a year you'd like to try and forget, but I know financially everybody took a hit. Is your situation a little bit okay, or is it down from a year ago?
Oh, no, we definitely took a financial hit. You know, we were in great financial, you know, setting, situation going into last year. And I basically told our coaches, like, hey, if you don't need something, you're not going to get it. So, you know, there are a couple scenarios with contracts with different people. We were able to get a great deal on a uniform, a buy one, get one free or something like that, where we went ahead and took advantage of that. But for the most part, it was, you know, hey, we're limiting spending in order to compensate for that. And we're able to do that, and we're still in good situation. But, you know, this year we're to the situation, if we have to do that again, now we're going to have 2 years where we're not purchasing anything that's not necessary or mandatory or an absolute need. Uniforms are going to start to wear out. Equipment's going to start to wear out. And then, you know, hopefully one day when we do catch up, we're going to have to spend a lot to try to catch back up. Mm-hmm. And so, I think just like other athletic departments that, around the state, we're not hurting right now, but we're getting close to there if we have to go through another year like last year.
It wouldn't get to the point where you have to either to drop a sport, would it?
No, we're going to do everything in our power to keep everything that we have, and we'll make other sacrifices to make sure kids have those opportunities. We're nowhere near that situation right now. And if it came down to that situation, I know the Frankfort community with all schools would find a way to make sure our kids have those opportunities.
Yeah, and that's something that, you never want to have to drop sports. Hopefully you can add a sport here and there or something like that, but, I don't know if that's even possible right now.
Yeah, that would, there's a lot of financial considerations and things like along those lines that you would have to consider before adding a sport. Obviously, financially right now, for most people, that's not the time to do it. Mm-hmm. But again, if there's that interest, then you're going to do everything you can to try to make that work.
You all ready to go, though, for this year? Assuming everything happens and goes out the way you want it to, are you all ready to go?
Yeah, we're ready to go. Again, our coaches, athletes, administrators, everybody in our community has been great and stepped up, and we're ready. We just started a lot of seasons have already kind of in the works. Obviously, football just had the scrimmage and then got taken out this week. But, we're ready.
You got your kids still interested? I mean, that's probably the way I should say that. Are your kids interested enough to keep going through all of this despite what's happened in the last year or so?
Are there going to be setbacks? Yes. I think our kids realize that going through last year. And when those situations come up, it's painful. I mean, those kids, I'm not just thinking of football because I know a lot of our sports went through it, just the timing of football. And I guess you could also say our boys basketball team last year, the timing of those quarantines when it's, your last game was taken away. Mm-hmm. You didn't get a go. You didn't lose a game that took you out of the tournament. Something else took you out of the tournament. And our boys basketball, the end of the season got taken away. We were able to play in sectional, but I mean, yeah. We weren't prepared for sectional either because of it. So those are extra painful for those kids. But, I also think that they see there's a lot of learning experiences in that and the opportunity to play, to be around teammates, to put in the hard work. I think that they still see the benefits of that and still will stick with it.
Okay. Is there anything else you want to add, bring up, or talk about before I let you go?
No, we're just excited for another year. Great kids, great coaches, we're fortunate to be able to do what we do and play athletics and excited for another year.
Okay. Brian, thanks so much for the time. Greatly appreciated, and best of luck to you and the Gophers this year.
All right, thank you. Appreciate you having me on.
All right, no problem. That was Clinton Prairie Athletic Director Brian Eaton on a taped interview we did a week ago. And joining us right now on the phone is his competition from last night, James Byers, the head football coach of Frankfort. James, how you doing this morning?
I'm great. How about you, Ken?
I'm doing just fine. So you guys got another W in the back pocket after last night.
Yeah. It's nice to start off on two good notes and as we enter Sagamore Conference play.
Yeah, and it's going to be a tough go for you guys in the Sagamore, and it looks like the league is doing some things outside this, non-conference so far.
Yeah, the Sagamore is tough every year. Tri-West is a terrific program, and they're well coached, and they got great kids. It's going to take a lot. It's going to take a family effort. We got to play for each other and do the things that we're coached to do.
Yeah, I see where they've won. They won two games by a grand total of 7 points. So that says something about them. And I didn't really know how good they might be this year, but I think that's just kind of inbred in what they do down there.
Yeah, I mean, great programs don't rebuild; they reload. And Tri-West is one of those great programs in our state. And so it's going to take every guy that we've got playing as hard as they can every play to do well.
Did you guys come out healthy and everything last night?
We did, yeah, and we're hoping that everybody from Clinton Prairie is okay and getting on the mend. And their kids played super hard. They battled all four quarters. It was a great game, and their coaching staff is really top notch, and they did a great job as well. And we were just lucky to get out of there with a win.
Any key turning point in the game where you guys where you kind of thought, okay, we're gonna if we score here, we're in great shape and we just kind of take control from there?
I they got a great passing attack and they got some really great athletes. I never felt comfortable until we took a knee on the final play.
So who amongst your kids played really well for you?
It was a group effort. We kind of all started off a little sluggish and a little slow. When the defense started picking up in the third quarter, we started playing better as a team. Brent and Wood had a tremendous game on both sides of the ball, as did Sam Michael. It was great to see the depth that we have. We were able to rotate in a lot of guys along the D-line and the O-line. Having four guys in the backfield, five if you count Sam, four running backs that can all carry part of the load was a big help, too. I mean, that heat was definitely a factor last night, and it was good to see our guys, tough through it and play through the adversity.
And at this time of the year, that's the key right now is to play through adversity and also just make sure you get out healthy and try to develop some added depth is what you're trying to do at this time of the year, isn't it?
Absolutely, yeah. It's when it's 100 degrees on the field on a Friday night, it's tough conditions, and our guys responded to it all right. I felt like we responded to it a little bit better last week, but hopefully this heat breaks soon and we can get back to some football weather.
Well, I know it's supposed to get down to the 80s early this coming week, so we'll see what happens. But then again, just it is interesting to see what happens. So, what do you want to see now for the rest of the year?
I want to see us just play for each other and do the little things right. When we're playing fast and we're doing what we're coached to do, we're a pretty solid team, and it's exciting to see the potential and the growth. I want to see how our leaders continue to develop and work to be positive leaders. And we got a great senior class. These guys have been through the ringer. They've been through the 0-20. They've been through the 5-5. And now learning how to – we've won two tight games, and now we're going into kind of a meat grinder of a schedule. And so we're going to have to rely on each other to be able to play well.
But you think you played well enough that where you're in a position now where you can possibly get through all that in pretty good shape?
That's the goal. That's the goal, to take that next step forward and play with the upper tier of the conference. We got Tri-West here, and then we travel to Southmont, and then Lebanon comes to town. So we got a good stretch here that's really going to challenge our guys. And it was great starting off with some really physical competition from Clinton Central and Clinton Prairie, and now we got to take it up another step to play Tri-West. They're 2-0 as well, and you got two undefeated teams playing next Friday night.
Yep. All right, James. Anything else you want to add before I let you go?
Nope. We're excited. We're ready to get back to work and focus on next week.
Okay. Hey, congratulations on your first two wins, and especially the one you got last night. Take care, we'll talk to you later on, okay?
All right, sounds great.
Thanks, James.
Yep.
Take care. Bye-bye. That was James Byers, the Frankfort head football coach, talking about last night's victory over Clinton Prairie. We're going to take a break right now and bring on Tim Newton from Purdue. You're listening to Inside the Huddle, sponsored by your State Farm insurance agent, Susan Casper.
Life insurance is one of those subjects that make people want to change the subject, rather than admit they probably don't have enough. That's why State Farm agent Susan Casper in Frankfort focuses on how the benefits of life insurance actually live on by asking people to think in terms of life without having to sell the house insurance or life without having to give up college insurance. Find out how the benefits of life insurance can live on with your family. Call State Farm agent Susan Casper in Frankfort at 765-659-5678. And put the life back in life insurance.
Wylo's getting ready to bring something new to Clinton County that has never been done before. Local news, information, and maybe a little entertainment for the Latino community in Frankfort. Hi, I'm Monica. Join me and Wylo Program Director Kevin Keith for Ahora Clinton County, or Clinton County Now. The show will be delivered live and in Spanglish so everyone can follow along. Our first show will be Wednesday, June 2nd at 7 p.m. and then each and every Wednesday, always at 7. Tell your amigos and friends to make plans to tune in to 1570 AM or 96.9 FM. Or you can also stream online at ClintonCountyDailyNews.com for the station that truly cares about the entire community. Wyla.
Your free local online newspaper, ClintonCountyDailyNews.com, is your number one source for the latest news in Clinton and surrounding counties. But that's not all we have to offer. Listen to archived audio from the past five programs on the Party Line program every day. Plus, make sure you chime in our weekly poll question at the bottom of the page. ClintonCountyDailyNews.com, your free local online newspaper.
Attention, Frankfurt. VFW Post 1110 has the budget to run one ad per day. So if you're listening, congratulations. It's like winning the lottery for your ears and your pork. Every Saturday, 10 to 2 p.m., VFW is grilling up pork burgers. Ah, the smell, the warmth, the pork. So stop in, grab some for breakfast, and take a few home for later. Call 654-7624 or stop into 309 North Main Street for more details. The next VFW ad will be playing tomorrow. See if you can find it. Bingo and raffle number 002767.
WILO and Casper Media are members of the exclusive International Broadcasters Idea Bank. Casper Media and 99 other broadcasters from around the world come together to trade ideas on how to better serve our communities and our listeners. A member of the International Broadcasters Idea Bank since 1991, Casper Media has hosted the Idea Bank convention throughout the years. Casper Media and Idea Bank, constantly working to better serve you. Depend on WILO.
Welcome back to Inside the Huddle, sponsored by your State Farm insurance agent, Susan Casper. I'm your host, Ken Hartman. We've been talking with a lot of high school football to this point. Now we're going to switch over to the college ranks and being joined by Tim Newton, who's the play-by-play guy for Purdue. Tim, good morning. How you doing?
Ken, I'm just fine. How are you today?
I'm doing fine. I don't know. I hope it's not too warm out. I haven't really stuck my head out since about the last couple of hours, but I have a feeling it's starting to warm up pretty quick, so...
Yeah, I haven't either, and thankfully with the lack of rain here, I haven't had to mow the lawn in the last few weeks, so I think that's going to continue again this weekend, too.
I think it will, too, and I noticed when I was out and about yesterday, I noticed a lot of lawns that I've mowed look like a brown and yellow deluxe. I mean, it looks like you just don't want to see it that way, so but that's what unfortunately...
It'll be green again. Yeah, it'll be green again next spring. That's my motto on it.
Well, you might get some late next month, you might see some green back again, but who knows? So,
sure.
How you been?
Good. Ready to play some football.
Yeah, and it looks like Purdue looks like going to have almost a sellout for next Saturday night's game with Oregon State, which is a huge opener for Purdue.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of pent-up demand, having no fans or basically very few. We had friends and family in the stands last year, but it's going to be a different experience. Last night I was at Purdue Volleyball, and I know that the fans were excited to be there in person after not being able to do it last year. And I just have a feeling next Saturday night could be a pretty electric atmosphere at Ross-State Stadium.
You know, and the other thing, and you and I have talked about this, is that it is just vitally key that Purdue gets off to a good start this year.
Oh, there's no question. You look at these first two games, Oregon State at home and at Connecticut, and they're really probably as important a game as they've had in the program in a long time. You'd have to go back, I think probably, I would say maybe 2017, Jeff Brom's first year here when they had to beat Indiana in the bucket game to be bowl eligible and finally get back and get a winning season and play in the postseason. But after a couple of subpar years in 2019 and 2020, it's time to get this thing headed in the other direction. And if you look at the way the schedule sets up, it's really, really important to have a good start. You've got four, I think, very winnable games in the first five. You've got those two that I mentioned. Then you go to Notre Dame, which will be a challenge. But then you've got Illinois and Minnesota at Ross-State Stadium. And again, both teams that certainly will be competitive games, but they're games that you feel like Purdue can play in. And you've got a chance to get off to a great start. If you don't, then you start to look at the back half of the schedule where you have to go to Iowa, you go to Ohio State, You play a Wisconsin team you haven't beaten in a long time, and the schedule gets tougher on the back end.
You know, it's going to be interesting to see what Illinois is like under Brett Bielema. And, you know, they're playing today of all days, which I'm a little surprised they're playing this early in the season, but they are. And it's going to be interesting to see how they play against Nebraska, which I think Illinois will handle them pretty easily today.
Yeah, you know, if I remember right, and I could be wrong on this, I think that game was scheduled to be played internationally somewhere.
In Ireland,
and
yeah.
And that's why it was moved up, and then they scrapped that, so basically it's just being played in Champaign. That'll be an interesting game today, because you certainly got probably the coaches on the hottest seat in the Big Ten in Scott Frost.
Right.
And you've got a guy in Brett Bielema who's going to bring, I think, a different style. You know, I don't expect Brett Bielema to throw the ball 40 or 50 times a game. I think they're going to get back to the style of football he played at Wisconsin, and that is run the ball and play good defense. I'll be watching that one today because I think it'll be an interesting start for both teams.
Yeah, and I think he's got like 20 starters back off of last year's team, I think, if I heard that correctly. I think that's what I heard, so.
Yeah, they've got a lot. You know, it's funny that Illinois has had, you look at their roster the last couple of years and you think, but this team should win more than it does.
Because
mm-hmm. they've got talent, but for whatever reason, and I think part of that is they've not had really good consistent quarterback play.
I would agree.
And I think that's been a big factor. And as we've seen, you know, a good quarterback can erase a lot of bad things away from that position. So it'll be an interesting game today. And it's just nice to see college football again. And again,
hallelujah.
College football with fans in the stands.
Hallelujah. I've been waiting for this for a long time. Speaking of quarterback, how's the Purdue situation look?
Well, Jeff Brohm earlier this week announced that Jack Plummer is going to be the starting quarterback. I think it was a very close competition. Aiden O'Connell, who's had starting experience before, was in the mix, and so was Austin Burton, who was a transfer from UCLA. Didn't get to the field last year, but I think in the end, what the deciding factor was is the fact that Jack is a little bit more mobile than Aiden is. I don't think you're going to see Jack Plummer run the ball 15 or 20 times a game, but you're going to see him run it probably 4, 5, 6 times a game on planned runs, and then they're also going to have the ability now to scramble and pick up some yards. So I think Plummer is going to be the guy, and certainly if he were to get hurt or if he's not very, very effective, they won't hesitate to go to Aiden O'Connell. And I think we will see Austin Burton on the field at times. Very good running quarterback. You may see some packages specifically put in for him. And, the last couple of years, Jeff hasn't announced before game time of game one who his quarterback is. But this time they decided to go a week early, and so Plummer's the guy.
How about defensively? Because that's been, you're now on your third defensive coordinator in 3 years?
It's just like the seasons. The leaves change, and we get a new defensive coordinator.
Sorry to say it that way.
You know, certainly that Brad Lambert is going to be the guy that's going to be calling the plays. They actually, by definition, I guess, have three co-defensive coordinators because Ron English, who is a former head coach, and Mark Hagan, who's been here before, they're all listed as co-coordinators, and part of that is for monetary purposes, but also part of it is for resume building. But I think you're going to see a different style on that side. Last year under Bob Diaco, the fit wasn't there. They tried to run a 3-4 system that really didn't seem to fit the personnel. And I thought it was a very passive defense. It was more of a read and react defense. This year, it's kind of, you know, a little bit more of the caveman style, see the football, go get the football.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that will suit players like George Karloftis and DeMarcus Mitchell very well. It's going to be a more attacking style. I think you're going to see more blitzing. You'll see the defensive backs up closer to the line of scrimmage. And, you know, they may be susceptible to give up more big plays, but they'll also be capable of making more big plays and creating turnovers and quarterback sacks and things like that. So I think you'll see a different style defensively, and I think it'll be led, of course, by George Karloftis, who I don't think there's any doubt will be one of the top players in the Big Ten this season.
You know, injuries have been a big factor also the last couple of years, but also you got some players that came out of that with David Bell, for instance, 2 years ago when Rondell got hurt. And the thing of it is that are you going to have anybody like that this year? Should there be somebody either offensively and or defensively come out of the woodworks that we may not know about right now?
Well, I think there's a couple of guys that they're not necessarily complete unknowns. And I look at a guy on defense like Jalen Graham, who started as a safety here and has been moved to linebacker and I think has really adapted to that position pretty well. And if you just look down the field, he looks like a Big Ten linebacker.
Okay.
And I think he's got a chance to have a big season this year. On the offensive side, I think I'm looking at a couple of guys in the receiver position. TJ Sheffield is one. He's going to play the slot. where Rondale Moore played last year. And then a guy that I think has a chance to come back, and, you know, he's been injured his first 2 years here and really hasn't had a chance to prove himself, is Mershon Rice, guy that has a lot of talent at the wide receiver position. You're going to need somebody opposite of David Bell because obviously teams know, that he's the guy and they're going to triple team him and sometimes put four guys on him. And you're going to have somebody else that you can throw to. And so you've got a Milton Wright, a Mershon Rice, T.J. Sheffield, a Jackson Anthrop. I think there are some weapons. Payne Durham, a tight end, is going to catch a lot of balls this year. And it should be about an offense that certainly will center around Bell in that receiver position. But they're capable, I think, with Xander Horvath of running the ball. Plummer gives them another dimension there. And I think you've got some weapons on that offensive side that they can really take advantage of.
Well, I hate to get away from next weekend, but I really have to do this because I'm just curious. What's your thoughts on the alliance that got formed here in the last couple of weeks?
Well, you know, I think that was both a reactionary and a proactive move. From Purdue's standpoint, there's not a whole lot of difference, or it won't make a big impact. The key point for people who aren't familiar with it is it's an attempt by the Pac-12, the ACC, and the Big Ten to keep in check the power that the SEC currently holds in college football, and then by definition, really in athletics, because football is the big money maker in college athletics. So the way it stands now, I think there's fears that the SEC, because they're adding Texas and Oklahoma, they may expand further. They don't want it to be where the SEC is running everything and has all the decisions in their hands. So by forming this alliance, you know, when it comes time to deciding how big is the college football playoff going to be, how is it going to be seeded, who's going to be, do you limit the number of teams in a conference? By forming this alliance, now you've got a voting block that will be able to, voting path, that is, that will be able to block what the SEC wants to do. The other parts of it will involve scheduling. So there's a big concern of, you know, part of the, again, this is all driven by the college football playoff, but you've got to have your teams get these non-conference games that will help their strength of schedule. And so when it comes time to pick these playoff teams, they're going to be, okay, they played a great non-conference. Well, how do you do that? You schedule each other. So one of the things that we've seen, and I'm not sure if it's going to happen this way, but right now the Big Ten plays 9 conference games. Let's say you drop that back to 8. But now the requirement is, if you're a Big Ten team, you have to play an ACC team every year, and you have to play a Pac-12 team every year. Mm-hmm. TV loves it because it gives them better matchups. You'd rather see that than you know, see Purdue play a MAC team or even an FCS team. And again, it will help the strength of schedule. So it was reactionary to the SEC, but I think they're also being proactive in trying to position those 3. Now the other question then becomes also, what does that do in terms of conference? Are the conferences going to grow? What happens to the rest of the Big 12 once Texas and Oklahoma leave?
Yeah,
those questions are still yet to be determined. I think they're not in the rest of the schools in that conference are not in a very good position right now.
I really thought what might happen is they might raid the Big 12 and take an Iowa State, especially for football, take a Kansas for basketball. You know, I originally thought years ago when they were in this kind of a similar situation, they went and took Rutgers and Nebraska, that I thought West Virginia and I thought Iowa State were the 2 best fits for the Big Ten.
You know, we had Mark Silverman and Jim Delaney. Mark Silverman was the president of the Big Ten Network. Jim Delaney at the time was the commissioner of the Big Ten. We had them speak a couple of times at the Krannert School where I work at on campus.
Mm-hmm.
And they talked about expansion, and they really don't make a big secret out of this. The expansion that they did was all based on television. It was, where do we need to get eyeballs? So, well, you expand out to Rutgers because it gives the New York City market. You expand into Maryland because it gives you the D.C. market. Nebraska was a little bit different, but Nebraska brought you a brand in football. I'm not sure. You mentioned Kansas in basketball, and that's true, but their football program has been so bad for so long. And a school like Iowa State, you've already got people in Iowa watching the Big Ten Network. You don't need to add Iowa State.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the other thing about it is, with the Big Ten and with the revenue sharing, if you add schools, you're dividing the pie into smaller pieces.
Right.
So you may be able to grow the pie. You may not be able to, because the rights, that what's going to be really interesting here is all the media rights are coming up for bid. And I think that's another thing with the alliance, that another reason it was formed is now they want to fight. The FCC is very much incorporated into the ESPN package. And so ESPN has become a big player now.
Mm-hmm.
So now you're going to have to get Fox, which owns FS1, Fox, the Big Ten Network. You've got to get them involved where they're interested in this big package that involves the Big Ten and the ACC and the Pac-12, and that's going to drive the rights up.
Mm-hmm.
As always, these decisions, you always have to look, where's the money coming from,
right,
and how can we get more? And that's another big reason why this decision was made.
Okay. Tim, anything else you want to add before I let you go?
No, I just hope the fans come out to Ross Aid next Saturday night. It's going to be an exciting night. So hopefully the weather will be a little bit cooler. Regardless of where you are, get out and watch your high school teams on Friday and support your favorite college team Saturday, and let's have a great football season.
Okay. As always, we greatly appreciate the time, Tim. Take good care, and best luck to you and the Boilermakers this year.
Thanks, Ken. Thanks for having me.
All right. Take care of yourself. Bye-bye. That's been Tim Newton, who does he's the play-by-play guy over at Purdue. He's been our guest. That's going to wrap up this week's show. Thanks to our guest and our sponsor, who is State Farm Insurance Agent Susan Casper. So join us next week for another Inside the Huddle. So till then, take care, and we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
This has been Inside the Huddle on WILO, brought to you by Susan Casper of State Farm Insurance in Frankfort. Join us next Saturday at 9 a.m. for another edition of Inside the Huddle on WILO.